Welcome to Come Drink the Water with Pastor Ben Garotti of Calvary Chapel, Montrose.
The third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Now listen, church, ever since Adam and Eve, but specifically with Cain, man has blabbed and blabbed and blabbed about everything and anything. If I was in charge, I'd do it this way. If that would have been given to me, I would have done it this way. And nothing has changed. We as mankind still think we know it all.
We have a lot of pride in our wisdom and reason. Mankind, being made in the image of God, possesses a beautiful creativity that has led to the countless technologies that have made life safer and more comfortable. Many fail to see who really deserves credit for this ingenuity. Any good thing we come up with can be traced back to the blessings of our Creator. As Pastor Ben will remind us, we also have a destructive tendency we simply can't think ourselves out of. We need the divine intervention of God. Now here's Pastor Ben in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, as he continues his message, Heaven's Open Door.
I am looking forward to what Jesus has prepared for me as an individual. Hey, listen, I came to Him as a sinner and He saved me. I needed help and He helped me. I needed these big time jobs. He gave them to me. I am looking forward to spending time with Him, and it's a personal relationship. And when He says, I go to prepare a place for you, man, I'm ready for it. I don't know what kind of place you look have in mind or what you're thinking, but I go out one of my left porticos. Yes, left side. Oh, a golf course. Thank you, Lord. How did you know I like to hit and take the tourist route with trees? I never go straight, but, you know, I love the game and whatnot. And on the right side, I don't know, maybe swimming pools, maybe whatever. In East LA, in an area called El Monte, we had this little beach called Marano Beach. How many of you guys know what Marano means? Anybody? Yeah, pig beach, right? That's exactly what it is. And it's for all those poor people. We park our cars and go in there. Ah, I just stepped on glass. Somebody broke a bottle of Coors or whatever. And it was just this little arroyo with water running in it. But we called it Marano Beach because sometimes we didn't have the gas money to go out there to the real beaches, right? 15 minutes, 20 minutes away, but we didn't. But here's the deal. The Lord that knows us says, I go to prepare a place for, you should put your name on the Bible. Because Jesus thinks about you. Jesus values you. Jesus loves you. Jesus is personal. He saved you so that you could live for Him and we can all live together forever and ever and ever. That's the God we serve. Just two things to look forward to when we get to heaven. So we get to verse 2, right? First part. Immediately, John says, I was in the Spirit. Church, you have to ask, why is John in the Spirit? Why? Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood. You know, and I know, if we go up in the air, you know, once we get past the 100 yards or whatever, we can't breathe. You go underwater about 18 feet and your eardrums start going. Some of us are older. They start popping at 6 feet, right? Our eardrums. This body cannot take what forever being with the Lord is going to be all about. And so we receive new bodies. So John was taken up in the Spirit. Second part of verse 2. And behold, he's there, a throne set in heaven. And one, capital O, so it's deity, and one sat on the throne. Church, this is the great, solid, beautiful throne of God, of God. This is the first thing that John sees. He looked at God and he didn't see any form. Now, before we get to verse 3, we have some description. But I always thought, and maybe you always thought, who's the first one you're going to see in heaven? Some of us said Jesus right away. Yeah, we're going to see Jesus. I always thought I was going to see my mom first. Hopefully I'll see my dad. You know, but I always knew I've always known I'm going to see mom. And like I said before, she's going to tell me, get a haircut, get some coffee, you know, we'll sit down and talk, right? It's my mom. But the point is, we all have our thoughts about what we're going to see. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to see God first, but it could be. First thing we do is we see God, the Father, what he's done, and our hearts are just again enlarged in appreciation for what he's done for us as we start recognizing, our minds start growing, and oh my goodness, I didn't realize, I didn't appreciate you enough. I didn't sing holy, holy, holy three times, right? I didn't do that, whatever, but it could be that that's who we're going to see first. Or perhaps at the marriage supper of the Lamb, again, kind of like my little background, right? We're having dinner, time for dessert, and all of a sudden the master of ceremonies comes out and said, I want you guys, hey, let's give an applause for Father God. You know, Father God walks in. I don't know. But it's exciting to think about these things. Something is happening for sure up in heaven, and we get to be a part of it. It might be the throne room. It might be the marriage supper of the Lamb. We don't know for sure, but let's see what John, we're seeing it from John's perspective. So he said, behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, verse 3, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald, right? So John saw brilliant colors, obvious, right? The one sitting on the throne had appearance of a jasper and sardius. Now, the stones then, they represent certainly his splendor, right, of the one sitting on the throne. The jasper, if you don't know, is a diamond-like clear stone with a purple hue on it. The sardius stone is more like blood red, like a ruby. And let me just share this with you. You need to know this. In your Bible, God just didn't write things and numbers just to fill in the pages. He wasn't stumped on a chapter. I'll start talking about stones. Everything means something to the Lord. If you start looking into this and you start thinking about, where are these stones mentioned? The sardius stone was the first stone, and the jasper stone was the last stone that the high priest in the Old Testament wore on his breastplate. We get that from Exodus 28, right? So when God was telling Aaron, or Moses to tell Aaron, dude, have the guy, right? We're going to make him a breastplate. He's going to be the high priest and whatnot, right? And every stone that you put on is going to represent one of the tribes, one of the 12 tribes, right? So that is going to be a reality. So then he starts mentioning stones. Again, you and I say, wow, a lot of bling, right? A lot of bling right there. But every stone stands for something. You start digging into it, you'll find out that the last stone is ruby red, right? And it was for the last son of Jacob, whose name was Benjamin, whose name means son of my right hand, who is seated on the right hand of Jesus, on the right hand of the Father. I gave you the answer. You shouldn't be slow on that one. You should have to, Jesus, right? I know, Pastor. I've been hearing, right? It's Jesus who, by his blood, red, we are saved. Our sins have been forgiven. On the right-hand side of the Father is our Savior, right? So I'm telling you, when you start looking into the Word, just don't gloss over it. Ask God, Lord, if I've ever been a student, help me be a student of the Word even today. You know, when I started going to school, I couldn't do it after high school. School and I didn't get along. And if it wasn't for sports, I would have never finished it. But after the Army, after my eyes woke up and whatnot, I went to school, started junior college in East LA as junior college. And my first year, I got all B's. I couldn't believe it. Then I transferred to, I had a move, so I bought a brand new home in Chino back in 75, whatever it was, 74. And I went to Mount SAC, and I couldn't believe it. My second year in junior college, I made the dean's list. I was so embarrassed, I couldn't even show it to my parents. They wouldn't believe it, you know, that I made it. And the Lord started opening up my head, my mind, to understand things. And then on and on and on. Long story short, become a student of the Bible. How many of you guys saved all your college books? You know, you still have some of your college books, yeah. Because we spend a lot of money on them, right? Are they worth anything today? Nope. Mine still speaks about President Nixon. President Nixon signed my honorable discharge. 2 months later, he left the office, and I had to hide that away like everything else. You know, you finish, yeah. Who signed it? I can't remember. Anyway, long story short, right? But here, right? Stones and things are just numbers, are not just there. They stand for something. Our job, make the connections, right? Lastly, here we note that there was a rainbow around the throne, and John describes it like an emerald stone. And we're going to come back to that in just a second, all right? But because John doesn't give a physical description of the one on the throne, right, as Daniel did. You remember Daniel? Oh, and his hair was white as wool, and upon his chest was this gold. Daniel started giving us some descriptions, and that's why we went to the book of Daniel as a teaser to get to Revelation, right? But there are some who say, because they don't give us a description, there are some who say that John saw Jesus, not the Father, did not see God. However, let me bring this to your attention, because again, I want you to be thinking and be students of the Word. A quick peek at our next chapter, we see Jesus entering the throne room, and what does he do? He takes the scroll of the one who is seated on the throne. So unless Jesus is doing one of these, I'm giving myself something and I'm taking myself something. It's not like that. You're seeing God who is on the throne right here. Best understood that indeed it is God the Father who is on the throne. Verse 4, around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. Well, it just seems that this door that has been opened, this door that John has just walked through, he hits headquarters. It's headquarters. There's the throne, and there's 24 thrones around it, and that's not all. We're going to get into some other things. But this is where John walks in on. This is where the voice says, come up here, and the door's open, and he walks right into headquarters. Headquarters of what? The universe. Everything that's going on the universe is being out of this central throne room with other thrones around it. It's an incredible thing when you start thinking about it. Now, he didn't go to Ben's place with the golf course and the swimming pools and, you know, dinner and stuff like that. John went somewhere else. It's a peekaboo for you, and it's also an assurance for you that God still is on the throne. Amen? I don't care what happens in Montrose, Colorado. I don't care what happens in Denver or East LA or anywhere else. My God is on the throne, and he's going to see me through as he's going to see you and I through, because he cares for us. He loves us. Check this out. We have been created for him, for his pleasure. And we'll talk about that towards the end as well. All right, so here we go, right? So our first observation here that he goes in, there's 24 thrones. Our first observation is Father God is not alone in the throne room. There are 24 elders around, which, of course, inquisitive minds want to know, who are those guys or who are these elders? And the answer is, we don't know. We can't tell you that for sure. Now, there are many, or there are more than a few possibilities. Let me give you the popular ones. Number one, because they are clothed in white, as does the church in Revelation 19a, we're clothed in white, which is the righteousness of the saints. Some say these elders represent the church. And also because of the golden crown, in the Greek, the Stephanos, right? Or Stephanos, however you want to say it, which is the victor's crown, and they're wearing it. And we say, oh, that speaks of us overcoming the world. But of course, we know we didn't overcome the world if it wasn't for Jesus. But we have become overcomers, as I showed you, because we have accepted Jesus into our hearts. So some think it's the church. Some say that the 24 elders represent 12 tribes of the Old Testament, 12 apostles of the New. 12 and 12 is? 12. You're sharp. You're sharp. Half a cup of coffee. You need more coffee? You know? And so, yes, 24, right? Some say, third option, that 24 is a continual number for service. And some of us from there draw, oh yeah, we're available 24/7, right? So the number 24 is a number that represents continual service. So maybe that's a possibility there, right? And finally, the thoughts of Mr. Stanley Toussaint, a former professor of Dallas Theological Seminary, he proposes that the 24 are some very special heavenly beings with authority. Do angels wear robes?
Don't be so quick to answer if you don't know the answer. The answer is yes, some have. Will they have crowns? Some of them? You have to dig, but you'll find some of that there. Possibility. So all that to say that we can't say with assurance who these 24 elders represent. When the rapture happens and we're in heaven, guess what? There will be introductions and we will know then. Verse 5, and from the thrones proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So I'm glad the Bible offers the explanation there for who they are, right? Lightning, thunders, and voices. They demonstrate the omnipotence of God. God is all powerful. When we hear that thunder, we all go, ooh, my window's going to break, right? Lightning, we see it flash from east to west and whatnot. So it expresses, the thunderings, of course, express God's anger, if you may, against an ungodly world, right? He not only threatens, but he predicts special judgments upon it. And just as when you and I, we witness lightning, we hear thunder like voices going across the sky, what do we know? Well, we know, especially if it's blowing this way, that a storm is imminent. It's right about to happen, right? So likewise, John is seeing a throne of judgment as the tribulation on the earth is about to begin. Why is John there? Because the period of the church is over with. The testimony of the church, what we were called to do as a church, it's over with. So now it's the next thing. What's going to happen? And it's going to happen quick. And maybe they're you know, like you and I would say, they're crossing their T's and they're dotting their I's in heaven. It's about to happen. And John happens to walk in, right? He's brought there at this time. Now, interesting is the fact, and I told you I'd come back to this, that John had seen back in the second part of verse 3 that there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. I bring that up because rainbows, when the rainbow was first created, I don't know if you remember this, when the rainbow was first created, it was after the flood, right? It was after the flood. The rainbow is a covenant, a promise, right, between God and man that he would never destroy the earth again with rain and flood. There will never be a flood to destroy the world again. So in the throne room, perhaps as a little reminder, as the background like emerald, here is this rainbow type stone, the emerald, right? The rainbow. It's not like God needs to be reminded, but perhaps to keep his promises, he does that. He has that there in heaven. So the tribulation, right? The people of the earth will be affected with tribulation, but it won't be via a flood. Lightning and thundering, yes. Rain, flood, no. Now, let's talk about the second part of verse 5. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. The seven lamps of fire, again, they represent the Holy Spirit in his fullness and majesty. As we learn from chapter 1, there is only one Spirit of God, one, right? But the seven represents perfection and completeness. And we learned that in chapter 1 again. Here, from God's throne, we see the unique role of the Holy Spirit executing judgment if the thought of the Holy Spirit executing judgment is unique to you, meaning, Pastor, did you just say that the Holy Spirit will execute judgment? Yes. But Pastor, man, I've been with Calvary Chapel all these years and whatnot. And I always saw the dove up here or the dove in front of our building. And it always stood for the Holy Spirit. But we think about peace and we think about love. And we don't think about him executing judgment. So for those of you who are there, God bless you, you get to graduate today. You know, just a quick read of Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 6, we find the account of Ananias and Sapphira. Anybody hear of Ananias and Sapphira? Yeah. Everybody remember who took care of them, like right now? Yeah. The Holy Spirit. So there's a lesson for you. It's a quick read for you after church. I'm sure you'll come to the same conclusion. You'll say, yep, he executes judgment. All right. First part of verse 6. before the throne, there was a sea of glass. Oh, this is so good. This is really good. I don't want to lose you here, right? So breathe in, breathe out, right? This is good. So before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. We all know that glass reflects as a mirror reflects, right? Thus, some have likened this, quote, sea of glass as the fact that before the sight of the Lord, everything is revealed. Everything, like seen through a crystal. A sea of glass, like crystal, take a piece of crystal, and it has all these little facets like a diamond. And if I turn it just right, I could see you very clearly, big, and nothing is hidden, right? And this, of course, will give you a better understanding of what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, and I'll read it to you. It says, quote, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." So here is this sea of glass in front of him. And guess what? He is seeing you, watching you. That's at a personal level. Historically, he is seeing and watching over his church and what has come about. And I'll tie that in for you. Second part of verse 6. Let's start the first one. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne, right, in the middle, and around the throne, were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. Did you hear that? Full of eyes. Everybody, cover one eye. What do you see? Half of what I see when I have two eyes, right? When you have two eyes, you could see it all. But could you imagine if we were full of eyes? After you get over the shock, oh, how ugly this must be, full of eyes, right? But it's there so you get the point that these creatures, they ain't missing one detail. They're not going to miss one detail, not one iota. They're not going to miss anything. Full of eyes in front and in back. Church, if you are familiar with the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, then these four creatures, as we see here in verse 6, they sound very familiar. Now, Ezekiel is the last of the Old Testament prophets. That's a major prophet that we used to call in school. Major prophet, right? Because, why did they call it major? It has a lot of chapters. Yeah, it's big, right? It's not a small one like Jonah or something like that, right? So it's small, right? So here's the deal, right? We are right now in Jeremiah. When we get together again, we'll be in Jeremiah chapter 50. And Jeremiah only has, I think, 52 chapters. We finish those two chapters. We go to the book of Lamentations, a few chapters, and then we get to the book of Ezekiel. When we get to Ezekiel, this is Wednesday night studies, Old Testament studies, the very first chapter talks about these dudes. So when we mention them right now, with eyes in front, eyes behind them, you know, and this and that, if you had a little inkling that, oh my gosh, I've read this before, I've heard of these guys before, this is it, right? These four creatures being seen here in verse 6, they're familiar, they're full of eyes, and that they're full of eyes means, again, that they see everything. So Ezekiel was down by the river Shebar when he encountered the creatures described here in verse 6. Now, come back to here, verse 7. The first living creature was like a lion, right? The second living creature, like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Now listen, church. Ever since Adam and Eve, but specifically with Cain, man has blabbed and blabbed and blabbed about everything. And anything. If I was in charge, I'd do it this way. If that would have been given to me, I would have done it this way. And nothing has changed. We as mankind still think we know it all.
Have you ever tried to picture what the throne room of God looks like? Can you feel the worship that never ends before his throne? Can you see the throne with a rainbow around it that looks like an emerald? Can you hear the thunder and see the flashes of lightning? I can't wait to join in the worship that never ends, found in Revelation 4:8. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." As Pastor Ben continues through the book of Revelation, listen with your heart and allow your imagination to run free in the throne room of God. Enter into the worship of the only one who is worthy, and then take that picture with you through your day. You've been listening to Come Drink the Water with Pastor Ben Garotti. This is one series you don't want to miss. But if you have missed one, we've got you covered. Just head over to our website, calvarymontrose.com. Come Drink the Water is a ministry out of Calvary Chapel Montrose in Montrose, Colorado. For those of you near enough to join us in person, we'd love to see you there this weekend. You'll find everything you need to know on our website, calvarymontrose.com. We'll be back, and we hope you'll be here next time on Come Drink the Water. Spirit, I need you.